now of is church essential? And we worry about if the president thinks it's essential or the governor thinks it's essential. But really, in God's eyes, all that matters is, do you find church is essential? Amen. As you come and worship the Lord. And even those on live stream, I know not all can make it right now due to health concerns and so forth. But just making sure that you're prepared, ready to hear from God. Gather your family together, either at home or here at church. But I thank God to see a church that considers church to be essential in God's eyes, and therefore they want to come and worship Him. Also, I'd like to just share one thing with you. You know, when we come, we come to churches and we want to be a blessing. Amen. And I know churches are hoping that their guest speaker, I know the pastors always hope that the guest speaker is a blessing, amen, and not a problem. All right, that would be a bad thing if your guest speaker is a problem. All right, but I want you to know as we travel, we're up and up. We literally have woken up in the morning and have to think, where are we? All right, I've woken up in the middle of the week and jumped out of bed thinking I'm late for church, and I go, oh, it's Tuesday, all right? As you're traveling, you're coming, you're going, and so forth, and it can weigh on you. It can get kind of hard. And I want you to know, coming to church like this one, it's been an encouragement to us. It helps us, too. You don't understand that. You know, we come, we want to feed you from God's Word and be an encouragement and challenge to you. But I want you to know, as a church, you can be a blessing also to us. And I thank you for that. I want to thank your pastor also for his kindness and for the blessing of being able to be here this day. All right. We started off this morning with Romans 10:1, where Paul says, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Right? To have a burden and a heaviness for his nation, that he wanted to get the gospel out and see his nation come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Before we get into the message, I want to share something. Your pastor alluded to it this morning, but I am helping a group of pastors here in the Great Lakes area with an initiative that's simply called Great Lakes 30 by 30. And what that means is there's a vision, a desire to see 30 churches planted by 2030 in the Great Lakes region, all right? And since then, I've talked to a group of pastors in Dallas, and guess what? I'm helping them with Dallas 30 by 30, all right? I told the pastors that met the other day, I said, now, you know, them Texans are going to lay down the gauntlet, you know? They're going to say, we're going to teach them Northerners what to do, and so we're going to have to step it up, all right? But the thinking can be, and I've already heard it, 30 churches in the Great Lakes area, 30 churches in Dallas. I know a group of pastors that work together in the West Virginia area to see churches planted. I know a group of pastors in Colorado that work together to see churches planted. I know pastors that were up in Washington State that are trying to work together with finances to get churches planted. And come on, where are we going to get all the church planters for all these church plants? And then on top of that, every one of these church planters is going to want to raise support. And so they're going to have to go around raising support. And we're talking, you know, $5,000 roughly a month in support to see that those church plants. Then we got to find 30 reproducing churches here in the Great Lakes area. And we got to find 30 reproducing churches in the Dallas area to get this done. It just can be so insurmountable. And the problem can be is, we can look at this and humanly say, what can we do? Can this be accomplished? Can we see even any of this take place? And therefore, pastors and churches have to think, do we want to get involved with that? Because, you know, if your pastor says, we want to be involved with Great Lakes 30 by 30, and 2030 rolls along, and he says, guess what? Two churches were started. Right? And that weighs on a pastor. Do you want to make a big deal of 30 by 30 and it doesn't work? Then what will my people think of me? What will the church think of me? And are they going to think that that was foolish for us to get involved with something like this? So the problem is when a vision comes or a challenge comes or when a need comes, such as we see the need of America today needing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The problem can be is we think about it humanly and we start doubting. We start throwing up all the problems. We start throwing up all the obstacles, and then what do? Well, it's a good idea what these guys have thinking and trying to do, but it's never going to happen. And we go on with our lives. Right now in the United States of America, 18% of Americans go to church regularly on a Sunday. On a Sunday morning, 18%. And when I say go to church, we're talking anything that's called church. All right? We're not talking fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, King James. All right? We're not talking that. We're talking anything that calls itself church. 18% of Americans are going to church on a regular Sunday morning. In the next 20 years, that is expected to drop to 8% of this country going to church on a regular basis. Now, if a missionary came here tonight and said, I'm going to country A, and 18% of that country goes to church, of that 18%, 4% are fundamental Baptists, all right? And they're expecting in the next 20 years that to drop to 8%, which means, 1% or 0.5% of those are fundamental independent Baptists. We would say that country needs churches. Right. That country needs Christ. Yep. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, the United States of America needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Now, the thing is, we say, okay, country A here needs Christ, so therefore we need to send that missionary. And so you take that missionary in for support. And he goes there to do what? Teach gardening? No, right? He doesn't go there. Now, he might teach some people gardening if he's good at that. I don't know. He might teach them fishing. Who knows what he does? Some of them might even do like a medical missions outreach, which is a good thing. I'm not opposed to that. But I know a medical missions outreach right now. But you know what they do? They work through a local church, and many times those medical missions outreaches are done for one reason, to start a church in that community after it's done, right? So we expect missionary to go to country A and reach that nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ through planting churches. And so missionary A, for example, I met a missionary recently, went to the Dominican Republic. He was there 27 years. And in 27 years, they planted 7 churches. Thousands of people were saved. And we would say that missionary was a successful missionary. Several or thousands of people saved. 7 churches birthed. That's a successful missionary. We would, if he came home from the field at that point, he would be a member of his local church. His pastor would be saying, oh, yes, this is one of our beloved missionaries. I tell you, God greatly used him on the mission field. He'd be lauded. He'd be asked to speak at missions conferences and all of that. Who are the missionaries to America? Now, I understand, you might have someday a church planter come behind this pulpit and say, God has called me to, name a community. And let's say Cleveland, all right, we're going to go to the inner city of Cleveland, and we're going to plant a church. And so you say, well, there's the missionary. Well, yeah, he's now the missionary to the inner city of Cleveland, right? So he is to go and do in Cleveland what we expect a missionary to do in the foreign field. Well, churches all across America need to be doing that. Right. See, the missionaries to America are the churches, the pastors that dot across this great land. We are to be reaching this nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The problem is, there's excuses, right? I shared with you this morning, I had people in Michigan telling me that Michigan doesn't need any more churches, right? And I shared with you about how wonderful Detroit is. Did anybody really think of moving to Detroit? I don't know why. Such a beautiful city. When I first moved to Toledo, somebody said that Verner's, the pop Verner's, it was made in Detroit. And they said, oh, it's wonderful. They get the water right out of the Detroit River. And I'm thinking, I'll never drink that pop ever in my life. All right. That's not a selling feature. All right. say that's where you're getting your water from. But, you know, we can think of cities all across this state that need Jesus Christ. Not just cities, but towns and so forth. You know, we think of the Bible Belt. I was talking to some pastors in Georgia, and you know what they say they need in Georgia? Churches. You know, and sometimes in Georgia, you go to an intersection, and there's the First Baptist Church on this corner, Second Baptist Church on this corner, Third Baptist Church, Fourth Baptist Church on one corner. Four churches. Yeah. Right? The problem is that over the years, many of them have gone cold. Many of them have closed their doors, and many of them have turned their back on the fundamentals of the faith, and many of them, being a Baptist or going to church in some places in the South, is just part of the culture. It's just what we do. But they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior any more than a lost man would know Christ as their Savior. They need the gospel. They need churches. We bemoan today our culture, our changing culture. We say, boy, I tell you, it was never like this before. I remember back in the 50s, or I remember back in the 60s. And you know, it's not like that today. And we bemoan our culture. But it was churches that used to be the basis of the culture in the United States of America. All right? One of the things that gave such a great godly heritage to this nation, great godly culture to this nation, that we used to complain about Europe and the way that they acted, the way they did certain things and all that stuff, that wasn't happening in America because of the Christian, God-centered culture that was being formed in this country. But, of course, we see a lot of that stuff has gone away today. We say there's not enough churches like ours. I get people come to me all the time because I travel all the time. They say, you know, when we go on vacation, boy, it's hard to find a church like ours. Boy, you know, we're over there and we couldn't find a church like ours. Well, you know what? I know of three kids that you can find that look and act a lot like my wife and I. All right? I always joke, my son looks just like me. But he acts like his mother. All right? Poor kid. But anyhow, you know, the thing is, there's three kids out there that are a lot like Tammy and I. Why? Because we reproduced ourselves. You know, it would be great, you know, churches across the country say, boy, I wish there's more churches like ours. There's a way to fix that. Yeah. Amen? As we reproduce after our own kind. Right? When my wife gave birth, I was not expecting a chimpanzee to come out, right? We get that, right? I was expecting a baby, 5 or 10 fingers, 10 toes, right? And look like one of us, or a mixture of the two of us, all right, and so forth, right? We reproduce after our own kind. And when churches reproduce, we reproduce after our own kind. The problem, again, just over and over and over, is it's too big of a task. It's too hard. What can Harvest Baptist Temple do? You guys are a good-sized church, and you do have some financial resources here. You've got some people in that. But when you think of America and reaching America and all the communities and places that need the gospel, what can this church do? And we take all of those thoughts and we take all of those thinking, again, we come back to human reasoning and say, really, what can we do to affect the cause of Christ? Well, Matthew chapter 16, in verse number 18, we learn a principle that faith is the key to reaching America. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, the Bible says here, "And I say unto thee," this is Jesus speaking to Peter, "thou art Peter, and upon this rock," talking about himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There are times in my ministry, as I pastored, I would think, well, nobody else is doing it. I'm going to have to step up and do it. I'm going to have to take the bull by the horns. And I would go through periods of time where I say, man, if nobody else is going to do this, I'm going to do this. And I set a goal of how many tracts I'm going to hand out. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. And I'll tell you, if it kills me, I will build this church. And there was times in my ministry where I felt like I was about to die. And it was actually getting worse, all right? The church wasn't growing. Somebody left, and there was this problem and that problem. I'm thinking, what on earth? I am doing everything that I can to build this church, and it's not going right. This verse, I always came back to it. This verse, Jesus always had to remind me of. And this verse was the strength of my ministry on the lowest times when Jesus Christ gave us the promise. Now remember, it's Jesus Christ giving us this promise. And His promise was that He would build His church. Amen? Now, what do we need to do with that truth? What do we need to do with that verse of Scripture? How can that help us here this evening? Well, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. What does the Bible say there? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So here Jesus Christ gives us the promise that He is going to build His church. And so I know there's many aspects to building a church. We need to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Christians got to go from babes in Christ to mature. And that's building the church. Also, though, is getting out and seeing people saved and brought into the church. I thank God that somebody did that for me when I was 16 years of age. Actually, my entire family, my sister got invited to a church like this first. And she nagged and nagged and nagged me to come. I finally came to church, and she pointed to the baptistry up the front and said, "You know what that is?" I go, "No." And she goes, "That's a baptistry." I'm like, "Oh, really?" And, you know, to me, a baptistry is a bowl at that point. And she says, "Yeah, I got baptized there last week." I'm like, "What? What are you, nuts?" And, you know, and so anyway, by the end of that service, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Then my brothers did. My other sister did. Amen. And it was just a wonderful thing of us coming to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. But Jesus Christ said He would build His church. And the thing is, folks, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. See, we can take this 30 by 30 and the problem of where are we going to get 30 church planters from? Where are we going to get the funds to financially support these guys? Where are we going to get the resources that are needed? You know, our ministry itself pours $5,000 into each church plant. Okay? We average about 7 church plants a year. And if the 30 by 30s take off at both ends, we could see, you know, 15 church plants that were involved in a year. So that's 15 times 5. Amen? And of course, that's money, it's all raised by faith and so forth. And so where's all this money going to come? And plus, you know, these churches, when they get started, they got to pay first and last month's rent. They need all this equipment. It just adds up and it adds up and adds up. And we can look at this huge problem. And how can it happen? And Jesus Christ wants us to reach the United States of America with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants to see churches dotted across this land. I believe still in 2020 that we can see revival come to America, that souls can be saved, that churches can be planted, that the cause of Christ can go forward. I hate the term the new normal. Right? When is normal? Was the 60s normal? All right, some of you remember the 60s. All right, was that normal? All right, no, there's always change going on. But we go, "Oh, it's the new normal, can't do anything for God now." No, we got to be moving forward, going forward. And I love your pastor, what he's doing here, and all the different things, and teams are going to be out here, and Evan the intern is going to be doing everything. By the way, Evan the intern's right after service is going to be cleaning my truck. Amen. Is that how it works? If it's said from here, it has to be done. All right. And so, amen. And so, amen. And, you know, the thing is, folks, we got to move forward. And I understand that this day that we're living in, moving forward might be that we're doing it online. It doesn't matter, but we got to be moving forward, doing something for God to accomplish something great for His honor, for His glory. But it's not going to happen without faith. It's not going to happen without faith. Faith in an all-powerful God is the key to reaching America with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I was 16, before I got saved, all right, I grew up and I was going to be a photographer. You know one of the greatest things about being a photographer is you take your pictures and you go in this room that nobody's allowed in. It's wonderful. It's great. That light's on. Nobody's allowed in. They can't bother you. Even if you have one picture to develop, you can stay in there as long as you want. Nobody can bug you. And then you're all quiet, back in yourself. That was me. When I went to school and we had to give speeches in speech class, I hated speaking in front of people. And I literally, when you know, you're supposed to memorize your speech, I didn't care if I got an F. I got up in front of the class, and I read my speech. Put my speech down, give me an F, I don't care. If you'd have told me I'd preach the gospel around the country, help churches get started, pastor a church, being some of the historic churches in this country, preaching the word of God, I'd have said, you're crazy, it'll never happen. That's human thinking. Then God calls us, and God commissions us, and God commands us. And listen, by faith, you can reach your neighbor with the gospel of Jesus Christ. By faith, you could be involved with your church's outreach. By faith, this church could reach their Judea and their Samaria with the gospel of Jesus Christ and see a church started in those areas. By faith, it can be done. Let's look at our main text here this evening, Galatians chapter 3 and verse number Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 2. We see here that we must have faith to access His power to see us reach America. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 2. This only would I learn of you. And he asks the question, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So the question this evening is, are you saved by works or are you saved by faith? Faith. All right, praise the Lord. You're doing a good job, brother. I was getting nervous there for a second. All right, amen. We get that. If I would have preached a works-based salvation this morning, would I be speaking here now? No, I would not. And he'd probably get on the phone and call a bunch of other guys. I wouldn't be speaking there either, all right? And he now knows my pastor, and by the time I got home, I'd be in trouble, all right? And we get that. A works-based salvation is heresy. It's wicked. It is ungodly. It leads people to hell fire thinking that they can earn themselves a place in heaven. It would be the most terrible thing that any preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ could do from a pulpit in this country is to preach that we are saved by our works. We understand it's by faith. All right? He goes on. In verse number 3, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are now made perfect by flesh? The question is that if you could not save yourself, are you foolish enough? Are you dumb enough tonight to think that all the other things you can do yourself? For example, again, at age 16, I got saved and became a child of God, and now I am to pick up my cross daily and follow Him. And so I was to grow in grace and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am to be changed from glory to glory by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? We get that. We understand that. And so what am I supposed to do? All right, I can do this. I can become a better Christian. I can make myself grow. The Bible is asking me here tonight, verse number 3, are you that foolish thinking you could do nothing? So at age 16, I could do nothing to get saved. I could not pay enough money to the church. I could not do enough work in the church. I couldn't serve God enough in the church in order for me to earn one inch of my way into heaven by my good works. It was by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ and everything that He's done. I was told one time as a Baptist that we are arrogant because we believe we're going to heaven. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, we're going to heaven. Boy, you people are arrogant. And I said to that person, I said, how is that arrogance? I said, I used to believe I could get there on my own. That's arrogance. Amen. Now I believe somebody else did it for me, and because of Him, I'm going to heaven. Amen. And so it's faith in Christ alone. Now we have the Word of God given to us. So here I am, this new believer, and I am to change from glory to glory. I am to grow in grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We call that in theological terms progressive sanctification. And one day, Rick Ross is going to be perfect, but not on this earth, right? We get that, right? One day I'll be standing before him, but I'm to be working towards that. And so, Lord willing, I'm more mature and I've accomplished more for the things of God. And I have believed in him, put my faith and dependence upon him more today than I did back when I was 16 years of age. Right? More so than when I was 25. More so than when I was 35. Right? More so than when last year when I was 45. Okay. I'm not 46, all right? but I try. All right, but the thing is, how does this happen? We sometimes get the impression, well, I need to discipline myself more. So I am going to write down these plans, these goals, and I'm going to set a time out for my devotions. And I'm going to set out a time to do this, and I'm going to set out a time to do that. And New Year's comes along, right? New Year's resolution. Amen? New Year's resolution. I am going, on January 1st, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And by January 7th, you're man, I've already missed a day of reading my Bible. Man, I've already done this. Man, I've already done that. You know, you might have problems with getting angry and upset with people, right? In 2020, I'll never get upset with anybody, right? January 1st, one of your kids drive you crazy and you lose it, right? And that didn't last long. And we think, what happened? Man, I was disciplined. I got my stuff all together. And listen, those things can be good helps. Okay, it might be good to say, all right, the pastor might give you a Bible reading schedule. So you might say, all right, that's what I'm going to use for my Bible reading schedule. It's good to try and get to a quiet place to have your devotions, right? So nobody can bother you, right? So you set all those things, organize all those things. But it can't just be you are going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and accomplish something great for God. The Bible says, are you so foolish that you have begun in the Spirit, but you made perfect in the flesh, that in your own power and in your own strength you're going to accomplish something for God. It can only be accomplished by a faith dependence upon Jesus Christ in everything that we do. That's why the Bible says, take up your cross daily and follow me. That is a step of obedience, but it's also a step of faith. You are saying today, I am identifying with Christ. I am putting my dependence upon Him as I follow Him. Whatever He has for me today, I am willing by faith to go through and to live those things. And so, folks, when we think of reaching the Great Lakes area with the gospel of Jesus Christ, this church was started by faith. Everybody who's been saved to this church are saved by faith. To think that Harvest Baptist Temple can accomplish anything great in its own power and its own strength is foolishness. It can only be done in a faith dependence upon Christ. The only thing that this church can do, and you know, you could say, well, are you, man, we're doing that, you know, and their motto was talk, 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 right? And, you know, and doing all those things, and it's week in and week out, and I'm sure you've had people that you saw coming forward and then fall back and then come forward. And what are we doing? What are we doing? We are putting our faith and dependence upon Christ that as we serve Him and as we get the gospel out, that He can accomplish something great in somebody's life. It's a faith dependence upon Him. It's not how, you know, we put a lot of thought into the design of our literature, in the layout of our services. One thing as I've learned as I've traveled the country, I was taught, you know, you do everything first class. And, you know, I was taught by my pastor, when you preach, if your cuffs don't come out from your jacket, you know, you're just not right with God. You know, you got to just, everything's just got to be just right. You know, you polish your shoes. God can't use you as a preacher if your shoes aren't polished. And I get out there, and I've been into churches. Now, I'm not saying do this, but church was a dump. Like, I tried junk everywhere. I'm thinking, what on earth is going on here? I've been in the church where they're picking out the hymns as the service is about to start. That would drive me crazy as a pastor. I can't do that, right? And guess what? These churches are doing great things for God. I think, no, you can't be doing great things for God because you're not doing it right. Right? The thing is, getting a hold of God, and yeah, I know our personalities and our cultures and all of these kind of things start coming into place. But God could use us. God can do great things through us. God wants to use Harvest Baptist Temple. God wants to use you. You this year can reach somebody in this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ if you put your faith and dependence upon Him to use you to do it. You can be used to be a blessing and to see this church move forward during this time if you put your faith and dependence upon God that He will help you to accomplish that and that you can do it. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. We'll close with this verse. It says, He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth He it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Is your pastor getting up here by works or by faith every service? Are you serving in the ministries that you serve in this church by works or by faith? Have you ever said, well, nobody else will do it? Well, if I don't do it, the preacher's going to give me a call and get mad at me. Well, you know, I can't step down from that because, you know, nobody else will step up and do it. Right? Are we serving God by faith or by works? Are we trusting God to do something? It's a sad thing sometimes when God really moves in a church, we're in shock. I have been in pastors' fellowships where a pastor gets up and says, yeah, God led this young man to our church, and he was with us a couple of years, and now we're going to help start this church. And the pastors all pulled that pastor out. How did you do that? We make it sound like it's this miraculous thing that a church is being birthed in the United States of America. It used to be the norm in this country. Churches birthing, churches birthing, churches birthing, churches. It happened. Ohio was one of the greatest states in this nation for birthing churches across this state. We kind of got away from it in the 80s, started empire building. Folks, we need to get back to it. But how are we going to get back to it? By putting a plan together, by saying, bless God, I'll do it if nobody else does it. Or are we going to do it by putting our faith and dependence in Almighty God, that Almighty God can accomplish something? I believe the greatest need in the church in America today is just simply a faith and dependence upon an almighty God. Jesus Christ said, He will build this church. He didn't say, I will build my church unless COVID comes. Right? I'll build my church unless President Trump is in office or so-and-so is in office. Right? He didn't say that. You know, I thank God that our president recognized the essentiality of the church, but he didn't have the authority and power to do so. That's in Almighty God's hands. God deemed it essential when He gave His Son to die for it. I think that made it essential. Amen. When Jesus Christ died for the church, who are we going to put our faith and dependence upon? We can only put it upon one person, and that is Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to follow the leadership of our pastor. I believe very strongly in that. I have a funny relationship. I'm older than my pastor, and he'll sometimes defer to me, and I say, no, you're the pastor. I believe strongly that the vision to the church is going to be given to the pastor. It's not going to be given to me. Who am I to tell my pastor how God would have him lead the church? And so long as it's biblical, I'm all in. And I'm all for it. And I'll support him and so forth. And so, yeah, we need to follow the leadership of our pastor and the deacons, the leadership of the church. And I'm not against doing things decently in order and having budgets and all of those kind of things. Nothing wrong with all that stuff. But ultimately, it comes down to, can we trust that Jesus Christ would work through our hearts and lives and accomplish something great for Him? Can God use me? Faith is the essential ingredient to seeing anything happen, to see us going forward and accomplish something great for God. Without faith, Jesus said, it is impossible to please Him. We cannot please our God without a faith dependence upon Him. Every day, are you willing to walk by faith and say, God, here's my heart, here's my life, cleanse me of my sin. Help me today to put my faith and dependence upon You to accomplish what You have for me today. If we have that kind of a spirit, if we have that kind of a life, we can accomplish great things. And I believe God can use Heritage Baptist Temple to turn this county and this state upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for this time and Your word here this evening. And God, we've heard here today that we need to reach our nation for Christ. We need to be a witness in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and the uttermost part. But God, we can say those things, but then at the end of the day say, yeah, but, you know, can it be done today? Our culture is different today. We come up with all of our excuses. Or do we say, God is still on the throne. God still wants to do something great, and we are going to put our faith and dependence upon Him that He'll still use us. God, help us to make decisions of faith here tonight. We pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.